This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Portugal's debt gets downgraded to junk.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Forget Greece. When it comes to the European debt crisis, the focus is on Portugal this morning. The country had its debt rating downgraded to junk last night by Moody's, which said Portugal may need a second bailout. For more, let's bring in Fernando Alexander, an economist at the University of Minho in Portugal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how does the Portuguese debt crisis differ from the one in Greece, or is it just basically same story, different country?
In a sense, we are similar to the Greece economy because we have a debt problem. I think the main difference currently is that the Portuguese people, they support the agreement that the Portuguese government settled with IMF and the European Union. The Portuguese people is prepared to accept that we'll try to solve the problem of the public deficit and also the problem of the over-indebtedness of the Portuguese economy.
So the Portuguese people may be more ready to make some big drastic cuts, but do you think that this debt crisis is moving faster than officials can keep up with it?
It's true that without the external funding coming from the IMF and the European Union, the Portuguese economy could not comply with its obligations in financial markets. So it's true that the European Union needs to find probably new solutions to the Greek problem and also to the Portuguese economy.
Fernando Alexander, an economist at the University of Minho in Portugal. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, now to Montana and that Exxon pipeline that spilled 1,000 barrels of crude into the Yellowstone River last Friday. Officials are now saying Exxon will have to bury the pipeline deeper than 5 to 8 feet under the riverbed to prevent future spills. And the whole episode is bringing the issue of pipeline safety to the surface. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Pipeline spills are different than offshore oil spills. The Department of Transportation oversees pipelines. It requires a worst-case safety plan for each one, but
all the dry runs or drills in the world aren't going to be really effective if they don't apply to the case that you actually experience.
Richard Kupervitz consults energy companies on risk. He says Exxon seems not to have accounted for heavy late spring snow in Montana. That's now melting and has the Yellowstone River rushing and flooding its banks.
We're finding too many incidences where the oil spill response plans are not really effective because they didn't really address a worst-case scenario.
Prevention should be the focus, says Mike Levine at the nonprofit Oceana. Even the best cleanup plan won't get out all the crude.
We simply can't. There's going to be a lot of oil left in the ocean or in the river.
Likely 90% of what's spilled, he says. Exxon shut down the pipeline in May over fears a fast current could damage it, but then decided the risk wasn't that high. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly lower in overseas trading this morning, London down about 0.5%. But the number of people tuning into fireworks on TV is higher. NBC saw a 50% increase in viewership for the Macy's 4th of July fireworks spectacular on Monday night. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 12 points to close at 12,569.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Supermarkets around the country are responding to the latest threat to their business, extreme couponing. So far, Rite Aid, Kroger's, Publix, and Target have joined in the crackdown by, in some cases, limiting the number of coupons people can use. For more on the coupon craze, let's turn to LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus. David, good morning.
Good morning.
So, David, is this for real? Coupons are really being used a lot right now?
Oh, yeah. In fact, in 2009, and that's the latest year for which the people who crunch these kinds of numbers have been looking at the data, we saw a 29% increase in coupon use.
Wow.
What that means is 3.3 billion coupons being redeemed for merchandise goods, equivalent to nearly $1 billion in savings. So that's a whole lot, clearly indicative of people being concerned about the economic downturn.
And is this something we see in every economic downturn or just this one?
No, it looks like this is a regular thing, that when the economy goes sour, people go to coupons. But in this current downturn, coupon use is much lower than we saw in 1992, the last time we really hit a speed bump with the economy, when nearly 8 billion coupons were redeemed. And I've been trying to figure that out. I'm guessing it's a generational shift, and the current folk out there making up the consuming public just aren't as old school about coupons as others.
And are people using coupons that you clip out of newspapers, or are we talking about Groupon and Living Social, these online coupon sites?
We're talking the vast majority are still newspaper ones.
Huh.
In fact, the online coupons account for maybe about 1% of coupon use these days, so it's still just a smidge, but that's where all the growth is. Online coupons are growing exponentially, which is why companies like Google are piling into that.
All right, time to save money, David. Do coupons really work? Are these people who are using coupons in this downturn saving real money?
Yeah, they really do work. And the so-called extreme couponers out there can really save big bucks, you know, maybe $1,000 a month off of their bills, 50% perhaps. But that's a whole lifestyle. You've got to be utterly dedicated and obsessive about your coupons, even to the point of stealing newspapers from your neighbor's yard. That's pretty intense. I'd say for most people, you're going to get savings of 10, 20%. But remember this, the vast majority of coupons, especially for food, are for processed foods. So if you get big into coupons, you're not going to be eating really healthy.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks so much as always.
Thank you.
And finally, a reminder to always check the bill. A New Zealand couple got trapped in a hotel room during the earthquake there in February. And though they did manage to escape the wreckage after breaking down doors and crawling onto a roof, they did not escape the charges on their hotel bill, including about $15 a day for parking, even though they weren't able to retrieve their car from the crumbled parking garage for 2 months. Good news, though, after this story made the New Zealand press, the hotel decided to waive the charges. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Alabama just passed a new immigration law. Word is it's even tougher than Arizona's, and local police, they are not pleased.
I think it gives us the authority to just hold a person without bond in our jail just because we suspect that they may be here illegally.
I'm Kai Rizzo. What good's a law if the police won't enforce it? That story next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.